Over these past couple of months, we have been talking about means of spiritual growth, and we've been doing that because our theme for this year is conformed to the image of Christ, and it comes from Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so our desire as a church and for each individual amongst us is that we do grow spiritually and that we become more and more through Christ's power conformed into the image of His sons. Now, we've been talking about different means of spiritual growth, growing in Christ through His Word and through various types of prayer, through solitude, through fasting, and various other spiritual disciplines. Now, today we're going to talk a little bit about healthy habits, and this is actually the second from last message we'll have in this series. We'll do a wrap-up conclusion next week. So this is kind of in the concluding mode, and so we're going to be not looking so much at some new habits, but at some ways that hopefully we can draw closer to the Lord. Now, most of us, hopefully, spend time alone with God. When I was in college, I was part of the Navigators Fellowship, and this was something that was really drilled into us, and that actually was an organization that was formed through the military. And so in having that cultural background, they were a little bit militaristic in a sense, in terms of really demanding and hoping, but even demanding that those disciples of Christ spend time with God. And so we would call it TOG time, time alone with God. And I had a couple of friends through my years of college and in seminary that took it upon themselves to be like a drill sergeant in my life. And so pretty much every time I would see them, sometimes every day, they would always drill me on, well, how's your quiet time going? What are you reading in the Bible? What's God teaching you? How's your prayer life? Have you memorized any verses? And so every time I would see them, they would kind of drill me on these things. And it did motivate me to spend more time in the Word because I wanted to have an answer for them. Because after a couple times it was like, I kind of slept in. I didn't really, spend time in the Word. You know, then they would kind of, yell at me. And so it did motivate me, but I noticed that in so motivating me to do it, I was doing it for the sake of doing it or doing it for their approval, not so much doing it for my own benefit in order to grow closer to the Lord. And so in some senses, though I may have been spending time with God, my motivations weren't very pure, and I'm not sure if it was really that good of a time of growth. And so, what I think I learned from it is that, spiritual growth, seeking the Lord is complicated, and we want to do so out of a pure heart and a pure motive. And I think for many of us, there's always going to be some times where we struggle. There's going to be ups and downs in our spiritual life. Most of us aren't just going to, some of you have figured it out and really enjoy. Hopefully we can all get to that point in terms of spending sweet time with the Lord, because God has created us as His people, and His desire is for relationship with us, and it's a two-way street. He wants us indeed to relate to Him as well, and we do that through the Word and through prayer. And so our attitude should not be one of obligation, but I like what Charles Stanley has written. He says, "We can be tired, weary, and emotionally distraught, but after spending time alone with God, we find that He injects into our bodies energy, power, and strength." And so even when we're at those times where maybe we're the lowest, or we're confused, or we're just out of sorts, that's the time when God is beckoning us to come to Him, to spend time with Him, and to grow in Him, and to be refreshed by Him. And today we're going to look a little bit about the habits that Jesus had, and some habits that we can hopefully also ingrain into our lives as we seek to know the Lord. Now, really, most of what I'm going to say today isn't new to any of us, but hopefully it's a reminder and encouragement for us to continue on that path of seeking God in our lives. Now, our passage for today is from Luke 4:16. And so I would like us to read that all together. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. Okay, so here we see in the beginning of this passage that Jesus went up to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, if you don't know, most of us know Nazareth. It's Jesus is from Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. And so Nazareth is up by the Sea of Galilee, just a little bit south. And that's where Jesus had grown up. And of course, he was born in Bethlehem, but his parents relocated to Nazareth. And then later on, when Jesus began his ministry, it says he had a place in Capernaum. And so these are some different places of Jesus. And right before this passage was written, it says that Jesus was in the region of Galilee preaching God's word, the gospel of his kingdom, and then he made his way on Sabbath day back to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was a small town at the time of Jesus. It was about 1,800 people. It would have been considered at the time Nowheresville. And most people of any kind that had any kind of influence, any kind of leaders, they would never want to be from a place like Nazareth. They would want to be from a big city. They would want to be from a place like Jerusalem, or they'd want to be from Rome or from Athens or something like that. And so Jesus was actually from a very humble town, and this is where he grew up as part of a carpenter's family. And this is actually Nazareth, and parts of Nazareth have actually been rebuilt. So if you visit Nazareth, you can take a little tour, and you can see rebuilt buildings that would have been how they look like at the time of Jesus. And so you see that there's brick buildings, and these people here are dressed in costumes. This wasn't a picture taken from 2,000 years ago, as you could guess. But nonetheless, this is where Jesus would have been ministering and serving on that Sabbath day long ago. And it says here that it was on the Sabbath day. And we talked a little bit a few weeks ago about a means of spiritual growth is Sabbath. And we talked a little bit about the fact that for Judaism, Sabbath is, of course, a weekly celebration. And it begins the night before Sabbath, which is on a Saturday. So the beginning of Sabbath begins in the evening, and evening at sundown, and ends the following evening at sundown. And it's because in Genesis, when you look at the creation account, it says that it was evening, it was morning the second day. It was evening, it was morning the third day. And so in Judaism, they have this concept of Sabbath starting the evening before. And so families and friends would gather around a table the evening before, and they would share a meal, and they would break bread and say some prayers and read some scriptures, or maybe at least they probably didn't have Bibles in their homes, so they would have much scriptures memorized, but they would share scriptures, and then they would sit down for a feast. And then the next day they would join together in the synagogue. Now, at the time of Jesus, the worship of Judaism centered around Jerusalem. It centered around the temple and the sacrificial system. Now, most people couldn't make it to the temple every week because they didn't have cars. You just couldn't get there quickly. You'd have to walk, and you'd have to bring your family. And so most people that were from Israel, and especially in the northern part of the region, especially those of humble circumstances, would usually make a pilgrimage to Israel at least once a year, most likely on a high holiday like Passover or Yom Kippur. But in the meantime, what was happening is that they would meet regularly to worship and to pray on Sabbath day. And so they wouldn't just wait to worship once a year in the temple, but they would begin to worship in the synagogues. Now, life in the synagogues, how it is now, is a little more centered on the synagogues now than it would have been in that time. But nonetheless, the beginning of synagogue worship had already begun at the time of Jesus. And what is a synagogue? Well, we know that a synagogue is a house of worship for Jewish people, for Judaism. And it actually means gathering place. And so it's a place where people gathered. Now here is a ancient synagogue, and this is in the town of Capernaum. This is actually from, I believe, 2nd century or 3rd century A.D., so it's a little bit later than the time of Jesus, but nonetheless, it was in that same era of the Roman Empire, and it's quite a big building, and this is basically kind of the remains of it. They would have been roofing and the like, but nonetheless, this is a place that people would have gathered, but at this particular junction in history, the synagogue wasn't just a place for worship, but it was also a place that was a community gathering. In some respects, it would have been regarded more as a community center than it would have been as a place of worship, because people would have gone there probably for education, maybe to bring their children, to have public meetings, to have public meals, maybe even to have ceremonies like weddings. And so this would have been used throughout the week. But nonetheless, on Saturday, on Sabbath day, the rabbis would be there, and they would gather as a people to worship God and to pray and to serve God. And so later on, after the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem, then the synagogue became much more of a central focus of worship, just for the worship of God, and it was more of a religious gathering than a community gathering. But nonetheless, Jesus in Nazareth maybe would have been a little smaller than this, but he would have been in the synagogue on that Sabbath day. And it says here, and this is what we're really going to focus on, as was his custom. And so we see that the custom of Jesus, or the habit of Jesus, was to go to the synagogue and to worship and to pray and to join with the people of God. And this is something that most likely, and I'm sure not even most likely, it definitively was something that his parents would have trained him in. And so from a young age, Mary and Joseph, along with his brothers and sisters, would have been going to the synagogue on a weekly basis to worship and praise the Lord and to study the scriptures. And so we see that this is something that Jesus continued even unto adulthood. And as a rabbi, he actually was asked at times to be the one who would speak. And so as last week, I went to speak at one of our sister churches in Florence, South Carolina, at the Chinese church there, and I was able to share the word. So some of the people in town, maybe Mary, would have told the rabbi, "Hey, Jesus is coming through here this weekend. Would you like him to give a message?" And so they would have invited him. And actually, on the passage right after, it says he stood up to read. Jesus stood up to read, and then it says they gave him a scroll, and the scroll was from Isaiah, and then he began to read, and then he began to speak about the scroll, and this is the passage where he said, these words here in the scroll are fulfilled in your presence. And I think shortly thereafter, they tried to kill the rabbi. And so we're not going to really get into that part of the passage so much, but we're going to focus on the fact that Jesus had habits. Jesus had customs, and I think these are things that we can learn from in our lives as well. And so Jesus would have been at the synagogue, and at this point in his ministry, he would have preached the word. He would have taught the word. And so this is something he did on a regular basis. Also, another habit of Jesus, another custom of Jesus, and we looked at this in our study several weeks ago, but it says in Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And so Jesus had a very busy ministry, but oftentimes we'll see in scriptures that he got away. He went up into the wilderness, or he went up to the mountain, to lonely places, so he could spend time with God, so he could worship God, so he could pray, so he could gain an understanding of what his Father wanted him to do. And so this was an important aspect of his life. And actually, I think in the Luke 5 passage, the disciples couldn't find Jesus, and so they went to look for him. But they knew that they needed to look for him in a lonely place, because that was his custom. Now, the other discipline that I think Jesus partook of regularly was that of service or being a servant. In Mark 10:45, it says that, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." And we all know the story of Jesus on the Thursday before He was crucified. He took a towel and He began to wash His disciples' feet. And He did this that we may follow His example, His footsteps of being servants, and for His apostles to be servant leaders. Now, what can we make of these habits of Jesus? Well, there's actually been writing, secular writing lately on habits, and there's a book on the power of habit by Charles Duhigg, and I believe he's actually a Christian. I saw him at a conference last year, and I've actually read his book. It's quite a good book, and it gives kind of the process, the science behind changing our habits and hopefully changing our lives. And hopefully this is something that all of us as Christians have a desire to do, to change our life. And of course, we know that this is done through the power of the Spirit. But nonetheless, there's some things that we can learn about the power of habits. And Charles Duhigg writes, "We have habits everywhere in our lives, but certain routines, keystone habits, lead to a crusade, a cascade of other actions because of them." And so I don't have time to really go into all of the philosophy of habit change, but there's this one particular type of habit called the keystone habit, which actually, when you do that habit, it brings about a lot of changes in other areas of your life, though those areas of your life are seemingly disconnected from that habit. And so I'll explain. Making your bed. If you make your bed in the morning, this will actually help change your life. Did you know that? And so, of course, if you're a kid, your parents will be happy, and I know Grace is happy when I make up the bed. But nonetheless, if we make our bed, it does make changes, and Duhigg goes on to write, "Making your bed every morning is correlated with better productivity, a greater sense of well-being, and stronger skills at sticking with a budget. It's not just that a tidy bed causes better grades or less frivolous spending, but somehow those initial shifts start chain reactions that help other good habits take hold." And so you start with a good habit, and then this helps you with other habits. And so sociologists actually studied this, and they had, you know, people who made their beds, and then they did a test of people who didn't make their beds, and another test of those who sometimes did and sometimes didn't. And they found that those who integrated the habit of making their bed actually kept better budgets and got better grades and could handle their money more. And so all of these things seemed unrelated, but nonetheless, it's the fact of starting a habit in your life that would cause other habits to begin. Now, there's other keystone habits, and he mentions them in the book, and I think there's actually other books now written about keystone habits, but spending family dinners together. This is actually something I think is good, even for good as a Christian practice, but for anyone, if you spend family time at the dinner table, this helps children be better adjusted. Kids that have family meals have better grades, are more emotionally stable, have better self-esteem, and so there's a whole list of things that are good when you spend mealtime together. And as believers, if we spend mealtime together, we can pray and we can encourage one another, so there's even more things that are good. And the other one is, another keystone habit is exercise or working out. And so for that one, if you begin an exercise routine, say in the morning, and every day you get up and you do exercise for 20 minutes, what happens is then you begin to start eating better, because for some reason psychologically you think, well, I did all that workout time, I have a choice between a Big Mac or a salad, and you'll choose the salad. And so people are healthier and lose more weight and all that by developing exercise routines. And so there's a whole bunch of keystone habits that if you're going to change any habits, change those, because those will change other things. But I bring up this whole area of keystone habits because I think it does have applicability to us believers, because I think there are keystone habits spiritually that if we begin to practice those, I think that can have repercussions in other areas of our lives as well. And I think we've seen some of those already in the life of Jesus, but I'll just mention a few, and one would be worship. Now, we did talk about worship as a spiritual discipline several weeks ago. And so, of course, we can worship the Lord on our own. You know, we can have private times of worship. And I think sometimes when we maybe pop in, I don't know if people even use CDs anymore, pop in a CD and listen to worship music, you can have a worshipful time before the Lord. But I think actually what's more of a keystone habit, and that's why I've listed this church here, is actually what would be called corporate worship. I think corporate worship is a keystone habit. And so if we take that discipline that Jesus did to worship the Lord every week with the body of believers, that will have repercussions in other areas of our life. And being in ministry for so many years, I can say that those who don't have corporate worship as a keystone habit usually struggle also in just their general spirituality, because if someone's sleeping in and not coming to church every week as a discipline, then that tends to rub off on other areas of their life. Now I know everyone here is worshiping God. We're all together, so I'm preaching to the choir here. But nonetheless, many of us are in different fellowships and Bible studies. So encourage those in your Bible studies and fellowship to come to worship, because it's important and it can make a big difference in our spiritual life. Another keystone habit, which I think is obvious to us all, would be that of spending time with God, which would be spending time in God's Word and in prayer. And when we do take to this time, sometimes we call it quiet time, sometimes we call it time alone with God, but whatever we call it, when we do take time to be alone with God as Jesus did, I think this is a keystone habit that can also cause us to grow in many other areas of our life. Because if we're spending that time with God every day, maybe even just as a discipline, sometimes we might not even want to do it, but when we're doing it, God will begin to work more in our hearts and lives. And I think maybe for you, I know for me, sometimes I might not want to spend that time with God, but after I do and I spend some time in the Word and God really speaks to me through His Word, I'm really glad that I did, and it does make a difference in the rest of my day because I spent time with Him. So we see keystone habits of corporate worship, of devotional time. Another would be that of encouraging one another. We all know Hebrews 10:24 and 25, stir one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so spending time in fellowship, I think, is also key. And so spending time, in your fellowships for the youth group on Fridays, going to youth group, for those of us in the adult fellowship, gathering together to encourage one another there, for our college students, meeting weekly in our Bible study. So we have many other different fellowships, regional fellowships, throughout our city. And so we need to be in places that we can be encouraged, and that we can also help keep one another accountable, hopefully not as a drill sergeant, but in an encouraging way as we see the day drawing near. And the last keystone habit, again, based on what Jesus' habit is serving others. And so if we serve others by having a servant attitude, looking out for the needs of others, praying for one another, uplifting one another, that's one aspect of this. I think another aspect is utilizing our spiritual gifts and beginning to serve in the church in different ways that God has called us and different ways that He's gifted us. And when we begin to serve in a church, begin to minister, and maybe not even in the church, maybe it's part of a church ministry, part of our church ministry where we're seeking to eradicate human trafficking like the youth group did, or maybe serving in a soup kitchen or doing something in the community. All of these are ways that God can use our calling and our giftedness and passions in order to grow in Him. And as we serve Him in His Spirit, I think, again, that's a keystone habit that will will have implications and ramifications in other areas of our lives. And so these are just a few keystone habits, and I think most of us can probably think of many more. I think there's actually some books out there, the 9 habits of Jesus, the 20 habits of Jesus. And so there's many customs and habits that we can integrate into our life. But I think if we focus on some of these keystone ones, that can really make a difference in other areas as well. Spiritual disciplines would be another one, and that kind of goes along with what we've been talking about these past few months. And so, apart from these keystone ones, we can actually begin integrating other habits as well, like fasting and solitude and silence and service and worship. And so, some of these I wouldn't maybe consider so much keystone habits, but nonetheless, they're habits that we can begin integrating into our life as we seek to serve the Lord. And next week we'll talk a little bit more about how spiritual disciplines work in our lives and how they can be a means of growth and how we can utilize them as a means of growth in our lives. And so as I was just reflecting on this message, on the truth of this message, I couldn't help but think of the potter and the clay. And many of us know the passage in the song, I am the he is the potter, I am the clay, mold me and make me, this is what I say. And in a sense, when we practice these habits, these spiritual disciplines in our lives, in a sense we're softening our heart, maybe softening the clay of our heart, as you will, so that God can mold us and He can make us and He can help transform our lives, that we may truly be conformed to Christ's image. And also that it's not just something that is in and of ourselves has an impact, but it also has an impact more broadly on our community and those who we're trying to reach. And so I want to close with another quote by Dr. Stanley, and he writes, "The time you spend alone with God will transform your character, increase your devotion. Then your integrity and godly behavior in an unbelieving world will make others long to know the Lord." And so I think we can even substitute this, the time you spend alone with God, or the time that you spend in these keystone habits and serving one another and in prayer and the Word and worship. This can and will transform our character, increase our devotion, and have an impact on those around us when they begin to see the changes in our life. And so I hope that our word today from Luke, looking at Jesus and His custom, can be an encouragement to us to indeed begin and continue healthy habits in our life, healthy spiritual habits. It's not meant to be a guilt trip like my friends tried to do in my life, but it's something that I think we should encourage one another with, and that when we do start spending more time in fellowship with the Lord, He can begin to really work a change in our life, which can then have an impact even beyond our own lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this this word, Lord, and we thank you for the example of Jesus, His example of spending time in worship every week, His example of going away to quiet places to be alone with you and to connect with you and to pray, His example of servanthood. Lord, help us to develop these habits in our life as we seek to follow you, as we seek to know you, as we seek to grow in you. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.